Editorial note. As the attentive reader will readily appreciate, the overall tactical situation was now becoming increasingly complex. The unexpected Necron attack on the Orcish flank had thrown the Greenskins into disarray, but typically they responded with the single-minded aggression of their kind, flinging themselves against this new and deadly foe with what can only be described as enthusiasm. The resulting carnage can barely be imagined. However, the lessening of the pressure on the beleaguered Valhallans was undoubtedly of great benefit, enabling the evacuation of the Imperial forces to take place relatively unhindered, especially as most of the frontline units had already been given their orders to disengage in preparation for luring the Gargant into the now abandoned booby trap. As to the fate of this formidable war machine, the following extract from Sulla's memoirs may prove illuminating, despite her best efforts to render it unreadable. Extracted from Like a Phoenix from the Flames, the founding of the 597th by General Jennet Sulla, retired, 097 M42.
Notwithstanding the flood of rumours which had swept the regiment, most of them contradictory, but which all agreed in the main particular that Commissar Kane had discovered some new and potent threat in the bowels of the mine, I held fast to my duty and resumed my post at the front line. Whatever the truth of the matter, I had my orders, and as a loyal officer, that was enough for me. No doubt, those better placed to evaluate the intelligence the Commissar had so heroically gathered would inform us of whatever we needed to know to meet and overcome this latest vile stain on His Glorious Majesty's blessed dominions in the fullness of time. Or so I told my subordinates. And until such information was furnished, wild speculation about demons, tyrannids or walking metal statues was merely a waste of time. This last flight of fantasy would, of course, turn out to have more than a grain of truth in it. But in the closing years of the 41st millennium, with the true horror of the Necron menace still unknown to all but a few, such talk seemed naught but the most febrile of fantasies. My platoon had resumed its position in the forward line, with strict instructions to fall back at the specified time to draw the Gargant into our carefully laid trap, and we had been engaging the main bulk of the Greenskin army with a gratifying amount of success. So much so, in fact, that I began to fear that we were thinning them out too quickly, and that we would be forced to engage the towering war machine ourselves before the time came to disengage. The shadow of that grim colossus was falling across us as we gazed in awe at it, the shrieks of thousands of tons of unlubricated metal sliding across one another as it tottered forward on unfeasibly stubby-looking legs, setting the teeth of every woman and man among us on edge. And I found myself comparing it most unfavourably to the swift darting elegance of the Eldar walkers and the majestic nobility of our own blessed titans.
1. Most unlikely, as at this point in her career she had yet to see either, unless you count holopics, of course.
I was on the verge of ordering those fortunate enough to be manning the forward trenches to engage those members of its crew who could quite clearly be discerned scurrying about on the main hull, when the vast cannon nestled in the construct's belly spoke. The concussion sufficient to drive the breath from our lungs and cause cracks to appear in our stout fortifications even at this distance. I turned my head, expecting to see the most grievous havoc wreaked among the precious buildings of the refinery, only to see instead the distant gout of a vast explosion somewhere among the slopes of the mountains surrounding this vital outpost of the Imperium. "It's veering off!" my communications specialist yelled, angling his head so I could read his lips, for the awesome sound of that titanic explosion had left my ears still ringing, and to my astonishment, I beheld the truth of his words. It had clearly faltered, almost on the point of engaging our forward line, and was now turning ponderously towards the looming peaks it had so inexplicably attacked. At that moment we received our orders to withdraw, so I cannot be sure of what I witnessed next, seeing it, as I did, at an ever-increasing distance, in short, snatched glances over my shoulder as we ran, and through a curtain of falling snow. However, it seemed to me that the terrifying construct was surrounded by small structures no higher than its knee, which had appeared by sorceries so arcane I was at a loss to explain them. Blank metal pyramids they were, dully reflective, and surrounded by a crackle of lightning which blurred their outline still further. Sorcerous lightning, without a doubt, for it lashed forth to scourge the hull of that mountain of metal, striking sparks so bright they hurt to look upon. Chunks of metal, larger than chimeras, fell lazily to the snow, and the burning bodies of its luckless crew pattered down around them, so that I cannot for the life of me conceive how it could ever have prevailed. But whether it did or not, I cannot truly answer, for the snow whirled in around that epic confrontation, and I saw no more.